Angie for breakfast.
Hello and welcome to Extra Angie for Breakfast. It is a little bit extra this week. We've got a cooking show. We have got Triple M's biggest scab hunt for Pablo to track an item or a person down. If you don't know what it is yet, we'll explain everything. And we've got a trip to plan for the end of the week. So no big preamble. Let's get straight into the good stuff.
Angie's a scrappy backpacker from way back, scrimping on the small stuff to save for the big adventures. Pablo, well, he's a tight ass. But who will be Triple M's biggest scab?
So cheap.
The cheapest friend I know, Pablo from Triple M in Karratha, gets together with me, Angie, from Triple M Southwest, and we pit our regions against each other to find out who is the biggest scab.
Now, you're riding high from the weekend because last week you managed to track someone down with a legitimate world record.
Not just one person.
You've been riding those coattails all weekend.
Not just one person.
No.
But a whole bunch, 890 people at Bass Primary School dressed as Dr. Seuss characters.
Yeah,
so thank
just
you.
Just want to clarify something. That does not mean that you won last week's challenge 890 to zero, okay?
Well, it may as well be, mate. Because I've given you a few rough ones, Pablo. Mm-hmm. They've been a bit tough. And I just, you know what? I want you to have a really nice week this week.
Oh, good. Well, it's a lead up to a marathon on Sunday, so yeah, I need an easy weekend.
Also, you haven't had a beer for like 18 months, which is something I'd love to actually talk to you about another time. But I would like you to have a beer this week, Pablo. Will you have just one?
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, because I would like you to go back a little bit.
Okay.
Here in the Southwest, we are hashtag blessed, hashtag living our best lives. We have more breweries than we can poke a stick at. But Karratha only got their very first microbrewery, craft brewery, local brewery a mere couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I want you to track down the first person who bought a beer at Northwest Brewery. I want you to go there. I want you to soak in the atmosphere. I want you to meet the people. I want you to tell us the craft beer story. And I want to find the person who paid good money for the first beer at the brewery.
You know what? It's Monday. I'm just going to say this right now. I am confident. I've got an in at the brewery because I'm not sure if you remember this, and I'm not sure if the listeners know about this in the Southwest, but we actually had a beer brewing competition between the two of us. The judges said that your beer, undrinkable.
Hey!
Mine.
Hey, it was called Bitter Than No Beer. They knew what they were getting into.
Mine, I took the Lara Bingle approach when it comes to manufacturing things. You know, she doesn't build the swimsuits that she sells, and I took that same approach when it came to brewing beer. I didn't lay a finger on any of the equipment.
Cheat! Cheat!
But I won, and the brewer
ended
up opening that brewery. Dan the brewer. So I've got a good in, but whether or not he remembers who actually bought that first beer is next level. But yeah, let's try to have a beer with him. Or her. I like it.
Go and have a good week. Spend some time at the pub, Pablo. The next one's on me. I'm talking about Augusta, right? So when I Google Augusta, it comes up with top sites. And it comes up and it tells me Cape Lewin Lighthouse. It tells me Cape to Cape walk track, and then it tells me Cape Lewin Lighthouse again. But I know that Augusta is more than a lighthouse, and it's got a bit going on. So I figured, why not get myself to Augusta, do the show from there for a couple of days, and just really put Google to shame and show how much there is on offer. But I am going to need your help, as always. 133353. What is your favourite thing to do in Augusta? So far, the internet has told me today that the bakery, top notch, which is lucky because I'm going to bring some of my team with me who will be the official bakery testers, and I can just smell the pie and pretend I can eat it, you know, the whole gluten thing. Whale watching tours has got a couple of votes. Somebody has said the Ragged Robin Cafe. It's awesome, locally owned and epic. That sounds a bit fun. And I dare say we're going to find some hidden gems along the way as well. It's my favourite thing to do. I've got Dorothy from Harvey on the line. And
I've just returned after a week in Augusta.
Oh,
on my
perfect.
Own. Yeah, on my own. And there's a walk that goes from Flinders and it goes right round plus past the Colour Patch Cafe, and then it goes round to the where the Blackwood River comes out onto the ocean, and the dolphins play there.
Oh, it sounds absolutely spectacular. I love a good walk and a good trail, so that is definitely on the list.
Hello, Andy. It's Pip here.
Oh, hello, Pip. Is that the famous Pip Mills from Bridgetown?
Yes, I am. If you're going to Augusta, you need to look up Trevor Price and Jeff Cook.
Trevor Price and Jeff Cook.
So Trevor Price is the prices are the last commercial fishers on the Blackwood River. They fish the whiting.
Yep.
And Cookie is the shark fisherman.
Oh, right.
And they're both generational fishermen and they're great characters.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, we love a good character.
And you know that Spoons is down there?
Spoons?
Spoons Perry.
Spoons Terry. Who's Spoons Terry?
Deb Spoons Perry.
I don't know who this is.
She's a fantastic Spoons player who was on Australia's Got Talent.
I do know of Deb Spoons Terry. Oh, my God, what? We're going to get a Spoons lesson.
And you need to check out the Augusta Rowers.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for reminding me, Pip, because the Augusta Rowers have this amazing community skiff and the boat's beautiful and I see the pictures all the time about what they do. So hopefully I'll be able to track down the right person to see if we can take the boat out on one of the mornings. Bagel or bust. I started this new segment. It's a new cooking show, alternating with My Butcher Rules on a Wednesday, and it's all to celebrate the delicious New York-style bagels in Bunbury. You can create your own today at Bagel Nation. Now, I have found in my radio life that the phone lines are more sensible than the internet. You get some very silly things on the internet, but with Bagel Nation, I said 133353 this Wednesday, what should I be putting in my bagel? And Catherine called me, who's a delight, and she said chocolate sauce, ice cream, Macca's chips and pickles in a bagel. But rules are the rules and you get to create your own bagel for myself and Nia, the owner of Bagel Nation, to put together. Well, were we surprised when this was the result? I'm not about this at all. I find something very strange about chocolate sauce and chips and pickles and ice cream. The bagel is beautiful. That is a gluten-free bagel. And it was just so destroyed by the ingredients. Catherine, what have you had me do? But you're the expert, Nia. What's your opinion?
Three words. Wow. Very inspirational. And a bust. Sorry, it wasn't bad as I thought it's going to be. I was quite surprisingly, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, Catherine, you kept Nia up all night worrying about this bagel.
Correct.
So there you have it. That was our first attempt at bagel or bust. We've got a low bar to start with. It was a bust. I'm asking you for four ingredients for this Wednesday's bagel or bust. 133353.
Yeah, hey, and John, how are you going? Robert from Bridgetown speaking. Did you get your four recipes for the bagel?
I am still waiting.
All right. How about, have you had sour cream, capers, smoked salmon, real smoked salmon, not the baked stuff from the South Atlantic, not farm salmon, and cracked pepper?
Oh, now that sounds like a bagel that I can get around. I love catching up with Wayne Baddock from Seasawing Marine. He's a salty sea dog from Greystown that gets in his mobile home and travels all around adventuring. So boating, camping, fishing, that's what's in order.
When you tell someone to get lost, usually it's an insult, but not for this guy. Welcome to Wayne's World.
Wayne, salty sea dog. Did you like that one?
Oh, yeah. Another new little intro from you, Ange. What are you becoming a wordsmith, are you? Yeah, well, you introduced it as Wayne's World. I'm now going to, today we should change it. It's the WA World. What's going on in WA, Ange? It's just going chaotic.
Well, we're stir crazy, mate. We keep getting locked up. We keep getting our holidays cancelled to the East Coast to see friends and family. We're sick of each other where we live at home, and we want a taste of the great outdoors. So everyone's buggering off.
Yeah, well, they sure are, and it's humming everywhere in WA at the moment. We're in peak season, peak weather, so there's some good stories coming out. And well, you just got to have some patience now, haven't you? So you've got to have patience maybe at the servos, Ange?
Well, I saw a story that I think it's the Pardoo Roadhouse in the Pilbara, which is sort of north of Headland.
I know it well.
17,000 litres of petrol in 1 week, or one day, apparently. They're going through 200 litres of milk a week for coffees. Like, they're just absolutely flat stick. So you drive now and you probably don't have big, wide open roads. They're probably full of people.
The trick is now is when you get to a town and you've got to do your shopping or something. Like, Headland was good because I stocked up in Headland. And now in Kununurra up here, there are people standing in the supermarket waiting for the trolleys to walk out the back doors with the fruit and veg on, and they're almost grabbing them out of the trolley before they get put on the shelves.
My God, and that's insane. You know, Kununurra grows so much of its beautiful local fresh fruit and veg that they should be able to, you know, go direct, really.
Yeah, some of it, there's a mixed bag of stuff. Like, I know they're not doing strawberries and stuff here.
Yeah.
And then the boat ramps, you know, obviously pretty much the same as you would expect. Everyone's getting out there and doing their thing, and so they should. So, look, it's great for businesses. The boating industry's going great, you know, bait, tackle. I've met a lot of people that have ordered new boats, but, you know, they're waiting a year to get a delivery on a new boat.
Really?
Hmm.
Oof.
So that's what's going on in the moment. And
are you telling me that maybe what we're learning at the moment through COVID-19 is that you can't have instant gratification in your whole life, and sometimes you just have to wait for stuff and get excited?
Yeah, it's really. I reckon it's sort of good and it's bad. I reckon it's great. You know, you're starting to you've got time to stop in the supermarket and talk to someone because there's 17 people waiting to go through the checkout. And I'm one of those people, I always chat up the checkout chicks, mate. Like, I just love it, you know, or guys or chicks, whatever. Hey, how you going? How's your day been? You know, and sometimes they've got this poor look on their face because they've been smashed, you know. So just take the time to, you know, have a chat and how you going? And, you know, yeah, okay, well, we have to wait, but look, at least.
Hey, look, I love that you're coming across, you know, Mr. Patience here, but I know you haven't been because your wife had to get over to the East Coast for family stuff. Then she got stuck there and you have not been patient waiting for her to come back and join you on the road.
Right, well, now you're telling the home truth, Ange. I'm the least patient person in the world, to be honest. I'm one of those people, I want to wake up before I go to bed. Right? That's how bad I am. And yes, my very good wife, Viv, is on a plane as we speak after 2 weeks in New South Wales helping out a mum, 2 weeks in isolation, oh my God, then coming yesterday, and then the plane delayed, then cancelled. Then put her in a hotel last night, then up again this morning, plane delayed. But she's in the air as we speak. We just got to hope it lands.
Oh, God, don't say that. Give her a big hug from me, and I'm glad you two are reunited. They're quite the team, you two. So, Wayne, yeah, it's always great catching up with you.
Yeah, thanks, Angela. I hope to talk about some serious boating or something a bit more different next week, and I look forward to chatting then.
You know I'm a little bit truffle crazy. After being here in the Southwest, I sent my mum on a truffle hunt just the other week. She thought it was the coolest thing ever. And that's why I'm pretty excited to be talking to Georgia Moore, who is the director for the WA Good Food Guide. Good morning, Georgia.
Good morning.
I'm not the only one who's truffle crazy, am I?
Oh, well, I think I just hit my 10th truffle dinner on Saturday night and had more truffles at Will's Domain yesterday, and I'm still ready for more.
Oh, my goodness. You just can't get sick of it. And there's such a stark difference between truffle oil and then real Southwest truffles. They're amazing.
That's right. And I think one of the best things about truffle season in WA was so much talent from a chef perspective is seeing how they all use truffles so differently. I think, you know, it's not just about kind of shaving truffles on everything and the integration of truffles into dishes, whether it's a truffle cream or a truffle oil or just truffles in so many different ways is what's most exciting, the innovation for us in this series.
Amazing. So the WA Good Food Guide have a full like Truffles Unearthed Dining series that's being presented by Volvo Cars Perth. And it's, I'm so glad about it because we need to be shouting about truffles from the rooftops, and there's some epic events coming up. Like, in fact, a whole truffle party at Chow's Table coming up next Friday. What's that one all about?
Yeah, so no, you're so right. And I think, look, we are so lucky not only to be in WA right now, but also have the ability to go out and dine and at parties and events. We're truly blessed. So we've had an amazing truffle series so far. We've been at Il Lido, we've been at Santini, Heritage Wine Bar, Cape Lodge, Kui. All of our events have sold out. It's just been such a great success. We've got two events coming up in the Southwest in August, and there's still some tickets available to both of them. So you're right. The next one is Chow's Table. I mean, Mao Chow, what a guy, what a chef. He's just to have an Asian restaurant in the Southwest region of this caliber where all chefs love going to eat is just so cool. So he's doing a really, really fun event for us. So think DJs, you know, not kind of fine dining necessarily. We've got six courses. It's really, we're calling it a truffle party. We're kicking off with what we're calling the Luan Ko Sequoia KFC, so almost like a popcorn oyster, moving into beautiful ocean trout. Then we've got dumplings. We've got roasted sirloin. We've got beautiful poached chicken with chicken fat rice. We've got chocolate mousse. It's just going to be a really super fun night. So that's next Friday night, the 6th of August.
Oh, my God. Chocolate mousse is probably my favourite thing ever. So that sounds pretty
truffle,
good to me.
With truffle by the wonderful Truffle Hill in Manjimup, who are one of the largest suppliers, export suppliers as well. A fantastic crew there.
Amazing.
And then following from that, we've got a completely different experience, really. It's chalk and cheese between the Chow's Table party and a very intimate event at the gorgeous Voyager Estate with Santi Fernandez, who's won our Regional Chef of the Year before. He's just such a talent. So that's starting in the barrel room where you're going to be tasting wine direct from the barrel. And then it's a journey through the gardens of Voyager Estate, ending in the restaurant where you're going to have donuts with duck liver parfait and truffles, moving on to three more courses with everything from pork to whiting to wagyu and, of course, a Voyager Estate dessert, which are always amazing. So that's a more intimate experience. There's only a few tickets left, but hop onto the WA Good Food Guide website, click on Truffles Unearthed, and you can buy tickets to both the Chow's Table and the Voyager Estate event.
I mean, what else is this weather for but getting cozy in some beautiful venues and stuffing yourself silly? And don't worry, Dockers fans, you can stay right here on Triple M right now because it's not Jeff Stewart, the District Superintendent of the Southwest, on the line with me this morning. It's Acting Superintendent Martin Voyers. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
So I have to ask you, are you Dockers, are you Eagles, are you football? Where are you at?
Well, I'm mainly soccer. I'm an Arsenal supporter, but I do keep an eye on the football, of course, and as everyone should. So I'm a bit neutral about which side should or shouldn't win, but nonetheless, I'm an Arsenal supporter.
Well, given that it's Olympics time, who are you backing in the Olympic soccer? Are you going England or are you going Australia?
No. It must be Australia. It's the same with the cricket. this is my adopted country, and it is because of that, Australia is where my heart and head lies.
I love it. My dad emigrated from England as well, and he picks and chooses his time.
Mm. Well, you can always link yourself to the winning side. That just seems a bit shallow to me, that's all.
Well, look, there's some things that we need to talk about this morning that are definitely not shallow because there's so much water on the roads around the Southwest, and so that's item number one on the agenda.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd like your listeners to understand, of course, we've had these significant storms overnight, not just the rain, of course, but the winds as well. A number of trees and other items are being laid across roads here, there and everywhere. And I know that they get reported quickly, but take some time to clear. So the first thing I'd like people to understand is you've got to drive to the conditions. And the conditions are at the moment that there may be significant debris on the roads that people have to be aware of. And also, of course, the driving rain in and of itself is pretty hard to traverse especially at night. So people just need to slow down slightly.
Yeah, it's not a race. If people want to race, there's like open track days at the Collie Motorplex. So you don't have to race on the roads and like hurt people. So that's my little two cents on that.
Yep.
Also, you've got some tips for crime prevention.
Yes, we've had a spate of stealing from motor vehicles. So people are parking their vehicles correctly, either at a shopping centre or when they're going out for an evening at nearby restaurants or whatever it may be. But, of course, for some reason, leaving valuables that are open to be seen by people walking past. So gone are the days when people leave their vehicles unlocked because the modern vehicle locks very quickly and easily. And unfortunately, our thieves are now going to break windows to break in, to smash them way in, but only because they can see what they want as opposed to just opportunistic. So they walk from car to car to car in a car park, and the moment they see a car with some valuables inside, they break in. So we're just asking people to be conscious of, if you need to keep valuables in the car, you should, but keep them out of sight, because they will... offenders will just walk from vehicle to vehicle till they see something and then grab it.
Yeah. We've also got some new technology on the Forest Highway, I believe.
Yeah, so we have the point-to-point cameras, and there's a fair bit of finance and energy gone in by the government to get in relation to road safety. And this doesn't only apply in Perth with the new smart freeways, but also for us in the point-to-point cameras along the Forest Highway. So we are, and have been for some time, keeping an eye on movement of traffic. And as you said at the beginning about the speed, I mean, people really are going to save 5, 10, 15 minutes by doing 120, 130 for some unknown reason. And really, it's just not worth it. And the point-to-point cameras do pick up significant detail of vehicles and drivers, and infringements are issued. As I say, for the sake of 5 or 10 minutes, you're going to get a couple of $100 fine. It's just... beggar's belief, really.
Angie's a scrappy backpacker from way back, scrimping on the small stuff to save for the big adventures. Pablo, well, he's a tight ass. But who will be? Triple M's biggest scab.
So cheap.
My very cheap friend, Pablo, good morning to you.
Good morning, Angie.
This segment is all about the Southwest taking on the Pilbara. This is Triple M's biggest scab, where Pablo and I challenge each other to find items or people or objects from around our area, and then we take it to the streets and we track them down. And I've given you a few rough ones recently, Pab. So on Monday, I challenged you to find the first paying customer for the Northwest Brewery, because we've got so many breweries here in the Southwest. I just wanted to shine a little light on the Northwest Brewery, the one that exists in Karratha. So how you doing?
I've done nothing.
What do you mean you've done nothing?
I'm going to be completely honest, Ange. I put my legs up for this, and I was really hoping. You know, I put my feet up on the table. I thought, yeah, this will be easy. People will just come flocking. Calling the station and saying, yeah, I was the first one that had the beer. Cricket Sanch. And I'm slightly worried. I'm going to have to start working a little bit harder. But I thought, you know, we've got a couple of minutes to fill air here.
Oh, no.
So there's nothing better than doing a sort of victory lap around your co-host. And over the years, Ange,
you've
sort of battled it out on different things. And one thing, you know, when you started speaking about beer, it really took me back to probably about 5-6 years ago when we actually brewed a beer together. And I mentioned this on Monday. We brewed off against each other.
And we called it a brouhaha.
A brouhaha, and you were involved with Frothcraft. I was
that
involved...
Frothcraft in Exmouth that are now going to be opening up towards the end of the year or the start of next year in Bunbury, so relevance points right there.
It's all coming full circle. The brewer that I ended up brewing the beer with is Dan Scott, who ended up opening this brewery. But the victory lap, I thought, Ange, you can hit the audio, because you really got stuck into me about my hands-off approach. And that's been my approach this week as well.
I want to ask you a question. Does Lara Bingle make her own swimsuits in the factory?
Oh, that is not going to be your defence.
Does Lara Bingle make her swimsuits in the factory? It's a simple question. So yes or no?
No, Pablo, I dare say she doesn't.
Well, I've taken that same approach when it comes to beer. I've come up with the concept, I've come up with the name, and I've let someone else brew it.
To the point where you haven't even tasted your beer yet.
Leaving it to the last minute. Look, it was a bit of a mix-up this morning. The brewer came into the studio at 6 a.m. A lot of confusion because I thought he'd bottled the beer, but it's actually that high-tech. He's made 2 kegs of the stuff because he knows it's going to be that popular, and he's actually taken it to Exmouth tomorrow morning. But because it's in kegs, he just came to the studio without the bottle, so I haven't been able to taste it yet.
Even the fact that you said the brewer was supposed to come in this morning just highlights how ridiculous you are in this homebrew competition.
Hey, look, I'm sure Lara Bingle doesn't know the people on the floor.
You're such a snob.
Well, I know his name now, Ange. His name is Dan Scott. He's the brewer at Northwest Brewing Co. And I'm going to have to go out and chat to him this afternoon to find out whether he knows who had that first beer.
Well, there's no cheating to be done here, Pablo. You either find the first person that bought a beer at Northwest Brewery or you don't, and there's no in-between. So get your lazy butt out on the road, make some phone calls, hit the pavement, and come back to us with a solution on Friday.
Or we could just replay moments of me beating you on Friday.
Ah!
See you then.
Every week, Peter from Bunbury has called up since I've been here in the Southwest to nominate somebody for Buffhead of the Week Award. And let's just be clear, this is just Peter. You can always call and nominate someone too. Frequently, I get nominated for a half a point. Peter, who have you got in your sights for Buffhead of the Week this week?
You were saying about the young lass who dropped the F-bomb on... but wasn't that good? And the way she corrected herself by... after she
swearing again.
I swore on.
Oh my gosh, honestly, if anybody hasn't heard it, have a listen to this.
Kaylee McEwen touches first, an Olympic record. She wins gold and says, "Dad, I am with you today."
What would you like to say to your mum and your sister for now?
Yeah, oh, shit.
Kaylee McEwen, and thanks to Channel 7 for that audio.
Yeah, no, it was classic, just classic hometown Australian girl talking to her mates. That's all it was.
Well, I think I'll give her the Larrikin of the Week Award for that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. She's my hero. But she doesn't get the Buffhead of the Week Award because that was just good-natured, good fun.
It was a uniting moment for Australia.
It was. But we are touching on the Olympics, Ange.
Oh, okay.
When Ariana Titmus won her 400 metres freestyle, she beat the unbeatable Katie Ledecky. That was the last that Ariana managed to beat, which is all well and good. It's great for her, and hats off to Katie for her, the way she accepted defeat and everything like that. But what gets me is Ariana's coach, Dean Boxall, he celebrated so, emotionally, just let his emotions out, just pure emotion came out because she had won this race. Now, there's a backstory to her. She followed him. She's a Tasmanian lass, and she travelled all the way to Queensland to be coached by him because that's how much of an association they have. So when she won, he's just gone nuts up in the stand and everything like that. And it was just pure emotion, and it was lovely to see. It kicked me hard over to see the emotion of this guy who, coaches last to win this 400-metre final against the unbeatable who, allegedly, I'm not sure of this, but I think from the way American press were promoting it, she hasn't been beaten in 4 years. She was the reigning Olympic champion. Anyway, they've been beating her up at home so much as being unbeatable and blah, blah, blah. And then when she loses, and she was so gracious in defeat, but all they could focus on in America was the loud and obnoxious celebrations of the Australian coach. And I think that was just smacks of sour grapes. So because of that, the American sporting press get the Buffet of the Week award because of their reaction to his celebration.
And I think that sounds like a very good Olympic-themed Buffet of the Week award. And well done to the athlete who lost beautifully. It's a shame about the media.
Katie, well, she gets her chance to beat Ariana today. They're in the 200-metre freestyle, but like, hopefully Ariana wins again today. And just as a side issue, the Austrian press have sort of taken Ariana under their wing and they're calling her Arnie, the Terminator.
Love it. Peter, thanks for calling in this week. We're into Batchy season again with The Bachelor and that whole jazz. But we're also back into Farmers and Charmers season and Shannon from Farm Weekly is on the line with me this morning to remind us what it is. Shannon, hello.
Thanks for having me back, Ange.
You are more than welcome. It was lovely to finally meet you on Friday night at the Rural Media Awards.
I know, face to a name. We've had that many conversations and never seen each other in person. So.
How us rural media likes work. Lots of emails and phone calls.
Exactly.
But that works because, you know, that's what this is all about for you. And this is the podcast that you created last year, Farmers and Charmers. Let's recap that.
So Farmers and Charmers, as you alluded to, is a dating podcast. It's a very, very simple concept. It's like Farmer Wants a Wife, but on a podcast.
Yeah, and a little bit more local.
A little bit more local. So it's WA only, but we do quite literally spread from, you know, down in Esperance all the way up to Kununurra. Anyone in WA is more than welcome to apply, but it does have to be WA-based. And the very simple concept is that we try and match a farmer who is simply anyone working in the agricultural industry within regional WA with a charmer who is literally anyone else. So very, very broad terms that we use for people. And we have people send in applications. Applications are open at the moment. We do a little bit of matchmaking. We bring them in to our studio in Perth and they have their first date blind and on air, in front of a microphone, we record the entire thing and then release it a couple of months later for everyone to listen to.
That's so great. I just love the whole concept on this. I love that it's for us here in WA. And you know what? Farmers, male and female, are very, very busy human beings, but everyone wants to find love. So this is, you know, just helping speed up that process.
Exactly. I mean, I know I'm on the apps and doing all the things myself and I know how annoying it is to try and find, like that's the worst part of dating is just trying to find someone to go on a date with. The date itself is really fun, but like doing all the small talk and trying to tee it up and go through all that with it, that's the crap part. So,
did you have any success from last season?
None of our couples are still together, I will openly admit, but we had eight couples that came on last year. Seven out of the eight at least went on a second date.
Wow, that's good.
Yep. So four out of the eight went on to date for, you know, a couple of months and our longest sort of coupling that we had was about 4 months.
Geez, that's good. So, the average on The Bachelor is about 3 months before they break up after the cameras are off. So that's like, good.
We've done better. You know, Farmer Wants a Wife was just on. They only had, I think only one of their people is still with their partner from what I might like scooping that I've tried to do based on people's Instagram accounts. Pretty sure only one of them still with their partner. So, you know. It's not so bad, really.
So if you're charming, well, you can apply. And if you're a farmer, well, then you can apply as well. So Farm Weekly is the place to go for all the information. And Shannon, thank you so much for bringing a bit of romance to the Outback. I'm super proud of all of our Olympic athletes, whether they win gold, silver, bronze, or whether they just make it there because it's something I could never do. I still would like to set the scene a little bit and do a big shout out for one particular gold medal. You see, this is a fairy tale kind of story come true, but let me just get the ambiance. Bermuda discovered its first pot of Olympic gold in the form of 33-year-old Flora Duffy, whose stunning victory meant the island, with its population of about 62,000, became the smallest country to win gold at a Summer Olympics. The whole of Bermuda is absolutely going crazy, and she won it for the triathlon. Congratulations, Bermuda. Congratulations, Flora Duffy. I love this too much, and I'm starting to really get sucked into the Olympics this year.
Bagel or bust? What's it going to be? A bagel or a bust?
Delicious. New York-style bagels in Bunbury. Create your own today.
You can create your own today in Bunbury with Nia, who is the man behind Bagel Nation. Now, can I just ask you a question before we put our ingredients together today?
Sure, Angie.
So you're a very international man. What made you want to bring New York-style bagels to the Southwest?
We don't have a proper bagel. It's time to have one.
What do you mean? You can get the ones in the supermarket.
Comes all the way from New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah, frozen, smaller. Not really good yet.
And also, can I ask another question? Because somebody asked me this over the last couple of weeks. What? Is a bagel just an American word for a bun with a hole in it?
No, a bagel is a super bread, less than 2% fat, and it's boiled first and then baked.
Boiled first and then baked. Yeah, so it's a different sort of creation process.
Correct. You get crust, you get chewiness, you got goodness.
Mm. And you've got gluten-free ones for me, which means I get to eat them. I'm very excited. Now, we had Robert from Bridgetown give us a call yesterday because, as always, we will take your ingredients and turn them possibly into a bagel for the shop. And Robert called yesterday.
All right. How about, have you had sour cream, capers, smoked salmon, real smoked salmon, not the fake stuff from the South Atlantic, not farm salmon, and cracked pepper?
Oh, now that sounds like a bagel that I can get around. But I'm a bagel amateur, Nia. Does that sound like a bagel to you?
It is okay, but I have to be honest. Yesterday, Robert actually called our shop as well, apologized and said that he misplaced a few of the ingredients, and instead of the sauerkraut, he wanted to have the sour cream.
Ah, so it was supposed to be Philly cream cheese.
Correct. So we're going to do it with the cream cheese for Robert this morning.
Right. Well, Robert, this one's for you. We've got cream cheese, and I've been warned to be gentle with the bagel. Oh,
yeah, just smear it.
I've got a special bagel smearing tool as well here, which is pretty handy. Tool of the trade. I'm a real bagel baker.
You are a bagel tool. Good on you.
I am a tool. And we've got some capers. Now, capers are those funny little salty little green things, not pickles like the other week.
No, they got a lot of punch. Mm. What I recommended to eat straight off the jar, but incorporate with our greens today, it's perfect.
We've got some beautiful, not farmed salmon because Robert was very particular about the real stuff. So we've got the real salmon on there as well. And we're going to top it off with a bit of salt and pepper and a bit of lemon. And do you know what? My mouth's watering. So I'm going to play our next song, Nia, and we're going to see if this is a bagel or a bust, all right? Oh, okay. Well, I've just stuffed my face full of bagel. I'm feeling pretty content. But Nia, you're the bagel champion.
Okay. Well, first of all, wow. Robert, really good ingredients, really good balance. And I would like to invite you personally to the shop. And have the Pink Lady, that's our salmon bagel, on the house.
Oh, yes, Robert!
Cool.
You got to get yourself, he's in Bridgetown, so it might take him a couple of days to get to you.
Yes.
You know, when he's, you know, traveling around the Southwest. So, Robert, bagel on Neil.
And Robert, don't forget, coming down from there, bring the family as well.
But Robert's on the line with a bit of an update.
The lady who gave me that recipe, she wasn't going to ring up, was Lisa. And she's been over to New York and she just loves bagels. And after you explained, I've never had a real bagel either. So I won't be able to get over there for a while because I only go over there to donate blood and plasma.
You're a good egg.
Yeah, so I'll book in. And I just want to say thanks.
Oh, look, thank you so much for calling up. And big shout out to Lisa. And you'll have to pick up some bagels and take back for her.
Oh, well, I'll take her over there because I went on his menu and I've got to take her to a proper bagel place now.
Robert's a legend. Thank you so much for calling back up. And Lisa, thank you. Whew, and we're only halfway through the week. Hey, if you ever want to tune in to Angie for Breakfast live on Triple M Southwest, you can listen on the Listener app. Otherwise, you can get your podcast fix right here. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you soon.